Leading people well is tough, even in the best of times. But what do we do when it gets really, really tough? How do we, as leaders, respond to adversity in a healthy and productive way? How can we continue to succeed in business and in life through the storms of leading well? You know, when dangerous storms begin to brew over the horizon, most herd animals and even humans have a tendency to take cover or move away from the storm, but not the buffalo. The buffalo, instead of running for cover, will gather its herd, take a few last bites of whatever food is out there, and head directly through the storm. As leaders, we have to do the same thing. We're all faced with different storms that come with leading well. Modern-day leaders face leadership storms that can cripple an individual, a team, or an entire organization. Our guests are resilient leaders, some of the best resilient leaders our country has to offer. They'll walk us through how they actually got through these storms and how they became better on the other side. So join us on the Through the Storm podcast.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it may be for you. Welcome to the Through the Storm podcast. This is a podcast where we talk to leaders who have been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, and live to tell the tale about it. So today is no different. And one of the cool things about today's podcast, and I'll introduce Thomas Williams in a second, but it's like a lot of times you have podcast guests on that you've met on the internet a couple times, or you've gone back and forth with just like over email. But Thomas and I have shared some space together. So we've walked it out a little bit. We went to the Broncos game. We've hung out. So this isn't just some informal, impersonal thing. This is a dude that I respect, that is just an amazing man, amazing father, amazing, you know, he's just a dude that you want to be around. And I know that because I've been around him. So I'm so stoked to introduce Thomas Williams. Oh, so a little bit about Thomas. Since 2018, Thomas Williams has been a proud member of the John Gordon Speaking Team, dedicated to developing positive leaders and fostering stronger, more connected teams. With a signature passion and energy that is like super contagious, I will add, Thomas helps organizations apply transformative principles from the energy bus, the power of positive leadership, and the power of positive teams to build winning cultures driven by positivity and purpose. But before stepping into the world of leadership development that we all know so well, Thomas built an impressive career in sports. You know, as a standout linebacker at the University of Southern California, fight on, my brother. He played a pivotal role in leading his Trojans to two national championships with a record of 59-6. His success on the field led him to the 2008 NFL draft, where he spent 5 years competing at the highest level, going head-to-head with the best, learning from world-class coaches. You know, through these experiences, Thomas gained invaluable lessons in leadership, resilience, and the relentless pursuit of excellence. But as it always does, life had different plans. You know, after a career-ending neck injury, it forced him to hang up his cleats. But Thomas didn't let this adversity define him. He used it to redefine his purpose. Instead of being a game changer on the field, he set out to become a life changer in the world. Now he's on a mission to help others discover their greatness, face challenges head on, and unlock their full potential. Thomas is fired up and ready to empower you with the mindset, tools, and energy to achieve extraordinary results. Now that is his bio. I will tell you outside of his bio, again, this dude is a man I trust, and a man that I'm happy to call a friend. So Thomas, dude, welcome to the podcast. It's good to have you.
I appreciate it, man. Okay, so I don't know when this is going to air, but there is a Super Bowl that's about to happen. Did you know Sam Darnold is the first USC Trojan quarterback to start in a Super Bowl? And we're talking about list of Heisman Trophy of guys who have played over and over and over college football, professional football. We're talking about gold jacket guys, and he's the first one, man.
Dude, I didn't.
Trojan fun fact.
I totally forgot. Bad Trojan. I totally forgot that Darnold was a Trojan.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, I'm in a couple of group chats, and everybody's like, man, did you see this? So I wouldn't have known. You know, don't feel so bad. I wouldn't have known either. I was just kind of like giving thumbs up emoji in the group chats, man. But I'm happy to be here. Thanks for allowing me to come hang and jam with you on the Through the Storm, man.
Yeah, dude. And like I was saying, man, we bring people on this podcast who have a story to tell. And I'll remember, this is just a story to set up your story or many of your stories that you want to tell. Like you and I walking around, we first met walking around this park. And then I had to pull over in the middle of this park and pee, which was weird. But first time I met you, you got my back. You're standing there. I'm in the wide open.
Well, you told me, hey, man, watch my six. And I turn around and you know, relieving yourself. And I said, hey, man, I got your back. I got your back. And so I was like, you know, nothing's going wrong here. But if there was any helicopters or any airplanes that were flying low, man, they might have seen what you were doing.
Yeah, we knew all each other for all of 10 minutes at that point. So that was a great way to start the relationship. But what we talked about on that on that walk was a couple different things. You know, I have a Marine Corps background. So 9 years in the United States Marine Corps, Iraq 2008, 2009, Afghanistan 2010. And you and I talked about like this dance that NFL players or any professional sport and professional athletes or high level athletes have in the military. And what we kind of share in common is that like we've been years and years and years was our lives were dedicated to violence. Like, dedicated to making sure that the person across from us wasn't going to get past us, wasn't going to do anything to us, wasn't going to hurt the person to on our six or to our left and to our right.
Yeah.
And we talked a lot about that, but this is totally off script. I didn't give you this question, but unpack that a little bit from the NFL perspective, because I know in the Marine Corps we're trained. You shoot to do unreversible damage to a person next to you. So how does that translate to what you've experienced?
Yeah, it's the reason why I'm smiling right now is because I was listening to a podcast the other day, and one of my really good friends, former teammates, Brian Cushing, was a first round draft pick, played 10 seasons for the Houston Texans, and is a wild man. I mean, there's a video of him headbutting somebody. Brian did not have his helmet on. His opposing player had a helmet on, and they went face to face, just like headbutt. And it's like one of those guys where if you see Brian get in a fight with a bear, help the bear. And because that is exactly who the guy is. And so he told a story about Mike Vrabel, who used to be the coach at the Houston Texans, and he was carrying the ball in kind of like a practice. This is pre-practice stuff that they would do. And so they're just showing what the opposing team's going to do on the upcoming game on a regular practice. And he said Mike Vrabel ran the ball through the hole, and he just absolutely decked him. Like, and everybody was on the team laughing. And it just goes to show you that when you're locked into a specific mindset, you have this purpose, you have this perspective, you have this objective, nothing's going to get in your way. And so ever since you're a little kid, you're 6 years old, and they say, okay, if you're on offense, we need to get across this line. That's a first down or a touchdown. If you're on defense, we need you to stop them from crossing this line, which is a first down or a touchdown. And as you take that same mindset, whether it's high school, whether it's college, whether it's professional sports, it doesn't matter. You're here to do a job. And I think, you know, even from the times that people have gotten hurt in practice, a guy's blown out an Achilles, torn an ACL, you know, unfortunately, maybe had a concussion. The only thing you hear on the football field is, all right, move it up 15 yards. And the thing keeps going. Like, it could be your best friend. It can be your roommate. It can be a family member that just got hurt. And you've been conditioned. You've been hardwired to focus on the main thing. And I think when we had our discussion and conversation before I had your back, I think we were just talking about the similarities. And the similarities are crazy, is that you're not able to feel. And I remember going to therapy as soon as I got done. I played 5 years, and I went to therapy because somebody had really strongly suggested and saying, hey, I think it's time for you to uncover everything that you've been holding on to and covering for the last 20 years of your life. Mm-hmm. And what I found is that I never allowed myself to feel, because feelings, you don't get paid for how you feel. You get paid for what you do. Yeah. And as barbaric and, you know, grunt as that sounds, that's just the truth, you know, and it can go even to the extent of coaches and you have meetings. I'm sure you guys did too in the military. And it's like, you were very, well, let me not speak for you, but let me just share our side. It's like, you're very reluctant to share. Does everybody know what we're doing? Everybody says, yeah, good. Right. And then you go out to the practice field and you look to Travis and you go, hey, Trav, we're running this blitz. What do I have? And you're like, dude, you have the A-gap. And you're like, oh, okay. And it's like, well, why didn't you just ask that question in the meeting? Because nobody wants to be seen as the weakest link. Nobody wants to get viewed as, they don't know what they're doing. And I think that that's just a small phrase of what I learned, was conditioned to do, had to unlearn it and then develop. And then now it allows me to go into organizations and companies and I think speak to the hard truth, especially when it comes around communication and building trust.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it's so important, and it is. I mean, you're in that highly, highly masculine area. Like when we're getting ready, we're going out on an op, like literally lives are on the line. asked the question for us. It was just like, yeah, well, oorah. And then that's just the response you get. And then you get outside the rock drill that we call it, rehearsal concept, where you literally have rocks and like, okay, here's a tank. And it's doing all this. You get outside there and like, bro, what are we doing?
Yeah. But did you guys say that? Were people confident and comfortable enough in their own skin to say that in front of everyone?
No, not at all. It was hey, Sergeant, what, like, can you just run this through one more time with me?
Yeah.
And, you know, as a leader in the military, absolutely. Let's run this through, but you got to pay attention, ask the questions and like, cause literal lives are on the line.
Yeah.
And for you guys too, it's the same thing. Literal lives are on the line. When you're running into somebody with your head first, things can happen.
Yeah.
So I want to unpack that a little bit. Like your transition has been amazing to watch, just to see what you've done and the way that you take you took the transition really seriously, jumping into counseling right away and being like, okay, how do I figure this out? How was that transition for you from NFL to just regular old civilian, for lack of a better term, for me?
Just a Joe. They say Joe. You went from a pro to a Joe.
Pro to a Joe. How was that transition, man?
Man, it was, I mean, I think now looking back, what we're 14 years removed. My kids have no clue. Dad used to play sports. They just think I'm an old guy who can throw them up in the air really high. You know, I've even forgotten a lot of times about the people, you know, the game we went to. I saw one of my students who I taught at USC, who's the starting safety for the Denver Broncos. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm that old. But you're still, you know, the smell of the grass. You're still not too far removed. But I remember like it was yesterday. I can tell you my very first hit on the football field in high school. I blew some guy up and I was like, wow, I've arrived. And then I can tell you the very last hit on the football field when I said I'm done. And it literally can be shrunken down. My experience can be shrunk down to the start, ninth grade, the finish, my fifth year in the NFL. And it was very difficult. And I think it's because of what we said. When you're conditioned to do one thing, you don't know what else to do. Mm-hmm. And when your identity is wrapped in something, you feel so confused. You feel that your purpose is missing. And you don't have anything to attach yourself to, right? Especially men. It's like, hey, man, Trav, how you doing, man? Nice to meet you, man. Thomas Williams. Oh, what do you do? Oh, man, I'm leadership development. You know, I help people. Oh, okay, cool. That's right. It's either what do you do? Where do you live? Who do you know? And I lived in one of the worst places for that, Los Angeles, when I got done. And I didn't have an answer when I would meet people. And like for previous years, it's like, oh, I'm you know, yeah, I play for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I played for the New England Patriots. I played for the Carolina Panthers. That's awesome, right? People, you're like the only one probably in that town that does something like that. And so you had this clear identity. And then when you're done, it's like, I didn't have the confidence and the transparency to tell people, I don't know what I'm doing. Hey man, how you doing? Thomas Williams. Oh, Thomas, what do you do? Oh man, you know, I just got done playing football. I'm trying to figure it out. I detached myself to something quickly and I couldn't even tell you what it was. Maybe I said like, I'm still trying to play something that I was holding on to my identity in the past because I couldn't let go of the jersey. I couldn't let go of the helmet, the logo. And so I was very lost. I was very depressed. And I didn't know it at the time. It was like, I isolated myself a lot. And so I spent a lot of time in my condo downtown and I would go right across the street. We had a place called Earth Cafe. And Earth Cafe had this like circular, probably the size of like a grapefruit circular cheesecake. And on the very bottom, it was like this Oreo crust. And like every night I would find my way to go get one of these cheesecakes. And I would probably declare that now is like I was drowning in sorrow and eating it. But I was just like, man, I've watched my weight for my whole career. I think I could get a chance to indulge. Two moments that actually made me feel that I wasn't the man I used to be. And the first moment was I was watching TV and like growing up during commercials, I would always try to do as many pushups as I could in between commercials, right? So I'm on the ground. And so I'm 27 years old and I get down and I do some pushups and my wrist and my shoulders were hurting. And I was like, wait a minute, this is new. What, why is my wrist? I'm doing pushups. I'm not running into a 320 pound lineman. I'm just doing pushups. And I was like, oh man, they were right. They said, if you don't use it, you lose it. Cause at that time I probably took a few weeks or months off of working out. And I said, okay, tomorrow I'm back in the gym. The second thing was a little bit more humiliating and it made me realize it solidified. I'm Thomas, you're never going to be that man. And I was going to an event in Los Angeles, and I just grabbed my, I put suit pants on, and I grabbed my jacket, and I'll just put it on when I get there. And I drove from downtown to a hotel, mid-city, beautiful event. There was probably, you know, a couple thousand people that were there. And I walk in and I put on my jacket and I went to the bathroom and I didn't recognize the person who had the jacket on because I'd lost like 20 something pounds. And so I put this jacket on and at first, Trav, I don't know if you've ever had anything like this. I was like, this is not my jacket. Shoot, I grabbed somebody else's jacket. And I looked at it and it said TRW because all my suits on the collar say TRW. And I was like, this is your jacket. And I was humiliated. Like, I didn't want to go introduce myself to anybody. I didn't want to see anybody. I literally like was moving and shaking the whole night. Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I think I left, even put my jacket down. And I was like, you're not him anymore. You're not him. And that's the hardest thing, because the next question is, if I'm not him, who am I? And so it was a long self-discovery with those two things. I will say this, thank God I continued to work out and I find myself not in shape for playing football, but just to throw my kids in the air. And the next thing is, finally at 41 years old, I'm okay that I'm not him, because I've evolved. I've grown. I would say I'm more versatile, but man, it was a hard journey. And I think that those are the two examples that stick out the most. And I think a lot of us have those things when we've done something for such a long period of time. And then you either get asked what you do, or you look at old pictures, or either somebody sees you in an old picture and goes, who's that? Like, kids walk in the office, they see a picture of me and they're like, Dad, who's that? And when it first happened, I was like a little offended. But now I'm like, man, that's who I used to be.
Dude, come on. I had a similar story, except for I hadn't lost a lot of weight. I found myself at the bottom of that cheesecake and I put my dress blue color on. I'm like, who's this? This is supposed to be my 10-year-old son.
That guy in a little coat.
I was Tommy boying it up in that time of my life. But that's what it was, man. It was the same thing, man. I was like, man, I bet you I could fit into my dress blues. I go put that coat on. It's like, oh no, I'm not that guy anymore.
Yeah.
And that transition, man, it's just like, okay, it is so similar.
Yeah.
It's just, if I'm not a Marine anymore, I'm not this, if I'm not going to Iraq, Afghanistan, who am I now?
So Trav, let me ask you this. When you put that jacket on, which way did you go, man, I'm just going to keep going in the wrong direction? Or at what point, because you're in great shape. So now, at what point did you go, hey man, enough's enough. The buck stops with me.
Yeah, dude, and that's, dude, what a great question. That was the point where I was like, okay, it was two things. One, like, I'm not that guy anymore, so I can't be that guy anymore. I did do the push-ups and my shoulders, my back, my knees, everything hurt. So I'm like, okay, I need, as far as physically and mentally, I'm like, okay, well, we need to rethink about what that looks like. In the Marine Corps, it's drilled into your head. Even in boot camp, they take away your name. Yeah, if you go to the bathroom, it's this recruit needs to go to the bathroom. Or no, don't say, I just got it. Trauma response from that. This recruit needs to use the head, not the bathroom. My Marine Corps friends out there, I apologize ahead of time. But like, they just stripped that away from you. And when I hit that moment, I was a couple years out and I'm like, okay, we're getting ready for the Marine Corps ball. And I'm like, I can fit into my blues. And I put that thing on. I'm like, man, I got to go get a suit.
Yeah.
This doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I got to change something. So for me, it was a shift in mindset of like, okay, physically, I can't run a 17 and a half minute 3 mile anymore. I just can't. That's just not in my bones, literally. Or it's not in my ligaments. But what can I do? So then it's just about, for me, it was this mindset shift of, okay, I'm going to sign up for absolutely everything I possibly can to put that on the calendar and train for it, no matter what it is. So it started with the Pikes Peak Ascent, which is a half marathon up Pikes Peak, which is like you go from 7,000 feet to over 14,000 feet in a half marathon. So I did that. Then it was other things that I just kept going and going. But it was just, I had to think about things differently. But it wasn't like, okay, I can't fit in this, so I'm just going to tailor it and then keep eating. And maybe next year I'll get it tailored before. No, it was like, okay, if I'm going to fit back in this thing, how do I do that the way my body's built now?
Yeah.
Other than what it was a while ago.
Yeah. I think even when you strip away the uniform, the person's still there. And you know, in football, that's why people say I'd rather play baseball or basketball, because at least you can see people's faces. And it's like, you know, you can't see a helmet. So you literally wore a helmet. So I remember one of the first questions I asked my therapist, Doug Friedman in Southern California, who was incredible. And I say was because I don't see him anymore, but man, he worked with me. And then one of the first questions I had for Doug is I said, Doug, I'm trying to figure out if I'm not him anymore and I'm me, who is me? And I said, the biggest question I have is, was I a nice guy pretending to be mean, or was I a mean guy pretending to be nice?
Oof.
So when I walk around every day as Thomas, you know, opening doors for people, yes, sir, no, ma'am, the nice guy pretending to be who I was on game day, or am I actually mean? Is that who I was? Is that who I am? The guy who walks around like couldn't wait for physical contact, couldn't wait for you to meet me in the hole, couldn't wait for us to have everything riding on this play. You have the ball. I'm trying to tackle you, but I'm pretending to be who I am in public.
Mm.
And I really wrestled with this question. And I swear he let me sit with that question for probably 30 seconds, but it felt like 30 minutes. And he was like, you're both.
Yes. Yes.
And when he gave me that, I thought, I mean, I literally had the same feeling that you just expressed, is like, yes, I'm both. And that's okay. And so for the rest of my life, I get to be a guy who I do like physical contact. I literally got paid to do it. I got cheered to do it. I went from fighting and getting kicked out of, you know, recess in elementary school to cheered and applauded when I knocked somebody's helmet off. And I'm like, okay, this is cool. But I'm also the guy who, my high school coach, who is the superintendent, he just sent me a text message about retiring. So I think he's 65. And I cried for like 5 minutes because he took me down memory lane. And so I'm both guys.
Yeah.
Like if right now you know, I don't know how much I got in the tank, but if you want to line it up, put some helmets and shoulder pads on, we could do it. I got one for you.
I'm not doing it.
But I'm also the same guy. So I think he gave me a gem and a blessing, because when we can say that we're both, as opposed to like, well, I need to throw all of this away. And now I need to like reinvent myself. I need to become somebody new. No,
yeah.
You're both. Take that with you. So like when I started speaking and still do to this day, and say, I never stopped playing football. I just don't tackle people anymore.
Yeah.
And so I use the same transferable skills to go into the different organizations, to do the coaching with the high level leaderships, things that I do. It's the same thing. And I think a lot of times people say I'm either or, and it's like, you got to be both.
Yeah.
Because you are.
Yeah, dude. And so I'm gonna just do a slight pivot here based on what you said. But it's the way God made you.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is truly the way God made you. And a lot of times we try to put that thing to bed. And my wife and I were actually talking about this the other day. It was like that was who God made you to be during that time of your life.
Yeah,
that was who God made me to be during Iraq and Afghanistan. And if I wasn't that person, there it would have been a bad day.
Yeah.
So that was a level for me, and that I'll speak for myself, like that is the way that God wired me. And that was God's protection during those times of where you needed to be that guy.
Yeah.
But it's okay to not be that guy. That's always going to be a part of us.
Right.
Like that mindset of you know, not necessarily violence, but that intense mindset.
Yep.
That intensity that we enjoy. That physicality of things.
Yeah.
It's the way God wired us.
Yeah. So true, man. And again, it's like, had I not been that, I don't know where I would be, because I was headed down a route in a road that wasn't going to be conducive to the man that I wanted to be. And it was something where I had an opportunity to be celebrated for my frustration and aggression, because what I came to find out, what I know is true, and what I've accepted a long time ago, is that football replaced the presence of my father. Mm. And so I was just an angry guy who, I mean, I could have gotten wrapped up into gang life, drugs. I mean, so many other things that like, hey, says, hey, we're going to put our arms around you. Come with us. And that's what I was looking for. Thank God it was a coach that was like, hey, dude, like, I want you to hit somebody as hard as you can. And I want you to do it again. And so like every single day, every single play, every single game, I was going to therapy before I was seeing a therapist.
Yeah, buddy.
And so it was something that I needed. It gave me a great life education experience and lifetime friends and memories, like you alluded to earlier, with 59-6, two national championships. It was for me, not done to me.
And it goes to the mentality. So you talk a lot about mentality today, these days. When you talk to organizations, you talk about a strong mentality. And I just finished up The Relentless Pursuit of Greatness, which if y'all check this book out, it's one that Thomas wrote. It's fantastic. And one of the things that stood out to me when you talk about staying mentally strong, and it goes into what we just talked about, that's all mindset. Mm-hmm. It is all about like you're shifting your mindset into like, okay, I can be both. How do I be both? Yeah. So this is what you say. It is on page 44, if you guys are looking for it, if you're playing the home game. So I might say athletes are some of the most physically developed humans on the planet. We build our bodies so we can push ourselves to do anything. We test our strength and then challenge ourselves to do more. Our bodies are big, strong, and tough. That's how we get results on game day. But the bigger game, however, is the one that's played between our ears. Mm-hmm. Talk about that last line. The bigger game, however, is the one that we play between our ears. Talk about the mindset thing.
You know, one of the coolest things when you have a great coach, they are able to talk to you not only in football terms, but in life terms. Mm-hmm. So Ken Norton Jr., who is in this picture, he's on my wall because we have conversations even though he's not here right here with me. He's still with us, but he's not here with me. He would always tell us, you know, this is fourth down in the game, but you're going to have a fourth down in life. Mm. In fact, I was laughing the other day, and I won't say exactly what the terms that he would use, but like we would be losing in a game or we would be losing a drive. And he would say, is this how you're going to show up and act as a husband? Is this how you're going to show up and ask as a dad? Like you're losing or you got beat the last play. And so you're just going to cry your way during the rest of this game. Like it's not over. You had a bad play. Doesn't mean you had a bad game. You had a bad day. Doesn't mean you have a bad life. You made a mistake. It doesn't mean you are a mistake. And he would have like these little sayings like that. And the thing about it is that with athletes, especially high performing athletes, doesn't matter your sport, we've been able to push our bodies far beyond people can push their minds. And so like I showed up to college the very first day and Coach Carlisle gets us out on the football field. And this was after our workout. So we did a 45 minute warm up, which was not a warm up. It was like, you know, throwing the ball in the air, sprints, you know, calisthenics. I mean, I see you nodding your head. So you're like, I get it. And then we go in and we do a full lift inside. Then we come back outside because just on this day, my very first day, it's 110 yard sprints. And for the 110 yard sprints, we have 18 of them, which means you run 9, take a minute and a half break, and then you get right back to it. And I remember thinking to myself, there's no way I'm going to be able to do 18. But the guys who had been there for, you know, they were the upperclassmen, the seniors, the juniors, the sophomores, they didn't complain. They didn't, oh man, they were expecting it, which means that we can push our bodies further than most people push their minds. Their bodies were already conditioned and ready to go do it. My mind wasn't ready to do it because I had just gotten there. Now you fast forward a year to 5 years and it was just like, all right, we got 18 110s. And it was like, okay, that's just what we do, right? Some people do hard things. Some people live hard lives. And so for us as athletes, we've had to live hard lives. And so whether it's been training camp, whether it's an injury, you have to come back and play, or even worse, which I've had, it's an injury and you don't get to come back and play. That's hard. Like that is hard. But again, it's how are you looking at it in your perspective that gives you the shift in the mindset? It was, you know, I don't know if you've ever done an ice bath. I'm probably, yeah, right. So you know it, right? It's the 3 minutes in there are absolutely horrible. But if you can put your mind to the results and the finish and what comes next, then you're able to bypass the pain you experience in the moment. And I think that's what sports have done for a lot of athletes is, nobody gets paid for how you feel. Everybody gets paid for what you do, the results that you produce. And that's great playing sports. Might not be great afterwards, right? When your spouse is telling you, hey, I need you to console me. I need you to empathize with me, have some compassion, which I had none when I played. But I think when you can take what you've experienced and you can turn it into a positive, then that gives you a heck of a lot better chance to succeed in anything that you do in life.
Dude. That embodies this entire, like the whole concept of the Through the Storm podcast or the Through the Storm just analogy in general is just like if you're going to go through the storm, like if the storm starts to brew and it looks like it's going to knock you on your butt, the fastest way through it is through it. You got to go through the storm.
You have to
get out on the other side.
Nobody wants to do it. Nobody. No, I shouldn't say nobody. There's very few people who want to do it. And so at very best, if you go through the storm, you're looked at as somebody who's abnormal. I told my wife, I told Taylor, I said, so we have 3 kids, 5, 3, and 2. And I remember this was after we had kids. But every time I thought this exact same thing, I was like, at some point during pregnancy, I would give up. And I'm not being funny. I'm being dead serious. Like I've notoriously been known my entire life to get to the top either at a roller coaster, it's about to be my turn, or most recently at the Wolf. What's the hotel?
Oh, Great Wolf Lodge.
Yes, Great Wolf Lodge, yep. Right? I went in. They have one of those things. I stepped in it and they're like, "Are you ready?" And I go, "No." She opened the door. I got out. I talk about being mentally tough. And right now we can go do some mentally tough stuff, but there are certain things that I'll go, I'm good. I am good. I know who I am. I know myself. And being pregnant and giving birth is one of those. At some point I would pull the plug. You know what? I was just kidding, guys. Like, can we do something else?
Yep.
And you know, what Taylor has done and like what a lot of women have done is that they follow through when it got difficult. And again, only thing she had to do was just wait those 10 months, push the baby out, and then you have life. And so what if you're willing to do the things that others aren't, then your success rate increases and you get looked at as, excuse my language, but a badass.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that stick-to-itiveness is what, yeah. It's not even a word, but like, if you're willing to, and that's half the battle, that's more than half the battle. That's 90% of the battle is just being able to stick through it.
That's it.
Like those kind of things in life, like if you're starting your business, getting promoted, anything that you, like any goal, I talk about this in my TED talk, like anything that you want to do is going to come with obstacles. It's going to suck at times. 100%. Anything worth doing is going to suck at times. It's going to come with a storm. And if what I like to say is like, if there's not a storm involved in what you're doing, is it really even worth it? And if it is, do you have the stick-to-itiveness to make sure that you're going to get to where you want to go? Knowing that along the way, you're going to doubt yourself, knowing along the way that others are going to doubt you and question you. And then that's going to make you doubt yourself even more. But again, man, we have to be able to go through storms, because if we don't, we will stay stuck. We'll stay in that mindset of either post-military or post-NFL where we're just holding on to that with dear life, because that used to be that, because that was our entire identity and we don't want to move on to the next thing. That's a storm in and of itself. Just transition. Yeah. We talk about military transition all the time. Like that's some of the hardest times in veterans' lives, was like, they'll tell you like that transition between, between violence and being a civilian. And that's the same. It's kind of the same concept, man. I totally like agree with you that mindset of, hey, I'm going to get through this is 90% of the battle. Skills will come. Adversity was going to come. Your resilience is built through going through that. And you're not going to be equipped every time to do what you're called to do.
No. And we have to remember that adversity is not apart from success. It's a part of it. The goal setting, I remember thinking to myself, well, I've set the goal. I know where I want to go. And it's like, well, it should be easy. And it's like, no, it shouldn't be easy. Want to know why? Because this is a part of it. It's, you know, it's like, and I don't mean to go here if we come back off this, but I think it's like even people who are Christians, it's like, well, I've accepted Christ as my Savior. And it's like, well, it should be easier now. Man, actually, life is harder becoming a Christian than before I became a Christian. So why don't I just go into doing the things the other way? And I remember a pastor told me that having Christ in your life isn't saying you're walking a tightrope and you'll fall. It's saying that you'll have a net if you do.
Oh, that's so good, dude. That is so good. Whenever, yeah, and bringing the Christianity piece about it, people think that, okay, once I walk that path, it's going to be, my life's going to be easy. I'm going to get everything I want. That's just not the way it happens. Christ carried a 300-pound cross up a giant hill that he died on.
Come on.
Why in the world, if he can do that for us, and sorry, we're getting on soapbox shit, but if he can do that for us, why are we giving up on our marriages? Why are we giving up on being dads? Mm-hmm. Why are we not pursuing that business that the God, that the Lord has put in our purview?
Yeah.
Why are we giving up? Like, it's just, to me, that's just like, that's the resilience piece that needs to be, you know, shouted from the rooftops. This is like, man, we can do this. Like we are built, just like we talked about earlier. We are built to knock our heads against something or send rounds down range or jump over, build, like whatever that is. And we are built to be kind, to be all those things. And those two things can coexist very, very well.
Yeah.
And that's the way that we were made. And I'm telling you, that's the way that's
through the storm.
That's through the storm. And that's what, like, when resilience, and I'm writing about this right in my next book, it's called Radical Commitment, when resilience becomes worship.
Yeah.
Like our resilience truly is just it's worship. It's like he looks down and he smiles. Mm-hmm. So I love that. He's our net on that tightrope. And give me goosebumps just now. So Thomas, we got 5 more minutes.
Yeah, man.
I want you to talk to the people, tell them where they can find you, tell them what you got going on, tell them how they can connect with you.
Yeah, man. So the easiest way to connect is through the website, which is thomasrwilliams.com. R is for Ray. I just got back on social media after 68-month hiatus, which is it was a long time, man. So I'm there, Mr. underscore TRW. Well, you'll hear from me one day a week where I give Wednesday inspiration, but instead of hump day or midweek, it is Wednesday, W-I-N-S-D-A-Y. I take the days that nobody else wants. People have, thank God it's Monday, thank God it's Friday. But who wants the redheaded stepsister, which is called Wednesday? And so I'll take that one. And then one of the cool things, Trav, I'm super excited about, I don't know when this is going to be launched, but we are within a month of the Winning Edge Men's Retreat. It's leadership, spirituality, helping men pour out the crap, the stuff that doesn't serve us, the things that we hold on and carry on to. And then we get a chance to pour in, speak life into one another's. So these are leaders of organizations, companies, dads, husbands, men that are coming to grow because they know that what narrative they've been carrying, they've been saying, is no longer serving them any longer. So we will be in Palm Springs, February 20th through the 22nd, doing rock climbing, BMW driving experience. And we also have a couple of transformative activities. So super pumped to hang out with 18 other dudes, man. Be a dude for the weekend to grow, to come back to our families as a better version of ourselves.
And that's not the last one you're doing. That's the second one you're doing. You're going to keep doing this.
It's just the next one. It's just the next one until the next one.
But next one until the next one. So if you're hearing this after that date, sign up for the next one because that's when it's impactful, man. I've been seeing some of the stuff that comes from those, and it's just you see dudes' lives change, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
So, man, Thomas, we could probably talk for another like 45 minutes to an hour, but I'll head up to Denver maybe one of these days, and we'll do it over lunch.
Do it, man.
Thank you so much for being on the show, dude. This has been a fantastic, fantastic, fantastic conversation. I'm grateful for you. So for those of you out there, go connect with Thomas. You will not regret it. Thank you for tuning in to the Through the Storm podcast. And until next time, go through the storm. Don't be afraid. Get your stick-to-itiveness and just push through it, man. Because if it doesn't have a storm, is it really worth it?
Yeah.
I don't think so. So I will see you next time, y'all.